Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Thursday nights, we love them around here. Gets us one day closer to Jaguars football. It's about going out on the road for the third time in 4 weeks, trying to win out on the road. That is something that the Jaguars have certainly struggled with over the years. You know, I mentioned this one night ago. I kind of got it into all the hype with the ongoing Jalen talk, which, you know, for the most part, I'm going to eliminate tonight. The focus here is on the Bengals. It's about going into Cincinnati and getting a W. It's about turning this franchise around. All right, they've lost a couple in a row. But I wondered out loud about why this team can't win in the month of October. And I really didn't get anything from you that got me thinking either way. And that's a little bit of a disappointment because I consider you an outstanding football audience. Really intelligent. I mean, brilliant, if you will. And usually you give me something, you know, at least to chew on. I got nothing on that. I understand that, you know, most of your thoughts yesterday were, again, of the scorned lover and how dare Jalen leave and what he said about, you know, or what he didn't say or this and that. All right, there's only so long you can dwell on it, all right? My advice to you is to act like a Kardashian and just say to yourself, there'll be someone better looking, someone stronger, someone taller, someone with more money coming right into you. Within the next day or two, right? Why don't we adopt that type of strategy? Just find a way to get over it. Get over Jalen Ramsey. What I can't get over, though, is, again, why this football team has not had a winning record in the month of October since 2010. This is not my first lap around the NFL. I've been doing this forever. And I don't know anything about what is happening with this franchise as far as this particular situation. Again, I kind of explained it like when you look at NFL teams, all right, if you play three straight on the road, that can be a problem. The Jaguars always struggled out west. Yeah. They got it done a few weeks ago in Denver. The Jaguars seemed to struggle those last few years where they had games around Christmas and around New Year's. On the road, it seemed like it was. The Jags almost lost all of those type of games. I can understand that, okay? I can't understand why they can't win in October. And again, last year at this time, they were 3-1 and playing some real good football. Their only misstep was that home loss 9-6 to Tennessee. I mean, crying out loud, they beat the Patriots. It looked like at that particular point, like this team was heading straight for a return trip to the AFC Championship game. And then what happens? October comes in, and the football team loses 7 straight football games. Even the year they went to the AFC Championship game and had a record of 10 up and 6 down. Go back and look at what they did in the month of October. I want to say they were either 2-3 or maybe 1-4. Something crazy like that. They haven't won in October since 2010. And even if they win the next two games, the best they can do is split at 2-2. So anyway, I'm not going to waste my time on that tonight, but if I'd like to hear, I would like to hear what you think maybe the reasoning is for that on the 1010XL text line at 641-1010. We're all aware of rookies hitting the proverbial wall. We've seen it before. You know, in other sports, it's one thing if, you know, a hockey team's out on the road for a couple of weeks or a baseball team's on a 12-game roadie out west and they get tired, or maybe you hit the dog days of, let's say, June or July. Yeah, okay, I'm aware of that. But I've never heard of an NFL team that can't win in the month of October. That should be when you're starting to play your best football. Like your 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th game. And for one reason or another, that has been a major setback with this particular franchise. Hopefully that does change for them coming up on Sunday. All right, lots to do tonight. I think the game sets up really well for the Jaguars. I saw something earlier today. As a matter of fact, I believe I heard Frank and them talking about it. I wish I knew for sure. If so, I would credit it. But I did hear today that the Bengals, and I've done a lot of reading this week on the Bengals, okay, that they have been trailing this year, I think it's like 76, 77, 78% of the time in all of their games combined. They have been trailing. Outside of Tennessee, have the Jaguars led at all in the other five ball games? I'm thinking out loud here. Kansas City got up early. Jacksonville never took the lead. Houston got up early. Jacksonville never took the lead. They didn't take the lead in Denver until the final second went off the clock. Charlotte, same deal. Before you knew it, it was what? It was a 7-7 game, but then it was like either 17-7 or 21-7. And then last week against New Orleans. So this is a competitive football team. This is a better football team than we saw 1 year ago. Their record tells us that they're 2-4. The eye test tells you it's a better team than last year. Boy, do they struggle in the first half. Boy, do they find themselves behind the eight ball regardless of their opponent. Wouldn't it be great this weekend to have a stress-free game? And I know that that is really absurd for me to say about a team that's 4-14 in their last 18. I mean, think about what I just said. How about a stress-free game for a team that's won 4 out of their last 18? That's what I just prescribed. It's almost impossible to say, yet I did it. Be nice. Be nice for you, your organs. It'd be nice for you, your blood pressure. There's nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen. We're going up 7-0. It's not against the freaking law to go up 7-0. Okay? You are allowed to do that. There's nothing wrong with coming out first, and if you elect to be on defense, whether you win the coin toss. Willie Taggart announced today he doesn't know who his starting quarterback is going to be this weekend, whether it's going to be Blackman or it's going to be Hornibrook. And I did retweet it, and I added my own little commentary to it. The good news with Willie this week, unlike kickers of a week ago, he said he wasn't going to flip a coin. He's actually going to make a decision with his staff. So maybe Willie Taggart's becoming a better coach. I doubt it, but anyway, just something for you to consider. Back to what's really important, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why not? Why not 7-0? Is that crazy for me to say? That's it. I'm not asking for a 49-7 victory. I'm simply saying, what about 7-0 good guys? Why do I believe? And I'm not complaining here. I'm just merely telling you the truth. Why do I believe that I'm going to spend all tonight talking about this game, all tomorrow when I'm with you 5 to 7. I have a very decorated Bengals writer who's going to be with us tomorrow to give us all the problems. You think you got problems around here? You see the problems right now in Cincinnati. We're going to go through it all. Injuries here, injuries there. They can't move the football. They can't stop the run. They can't do anything. Now there's internal problems in Cincinnati. Why do I believe the Jaguars will be down 7-0? It just, you know what you want to do when you hear things like that? You want to do this. Oh, man, that tasted good. Been drinking a lot of these, what are they called? What do you guys drink nowadays?
Like what you were drinking?
Never mind, RJ. For crying out loud.
I was going to tell the truth. I didn't know where you were trying to go with this.
No. What is it that you guys drink? What are they called? Craft beers. I thought you'd be able to just be able to respond, not, what are you drinking?
Well, no.
Never mind!
I was going to tell the truth, Rick, and I didn't want to oust you like
always,
that, man.
I always tell the... When have I never told the truth?
Were you trying to tell everyone that you were...
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so no, that's I why not. I didn't want to do it.
No, I was not. Never mind. Crying out loud. RJ Saunders, ladies and gentlemen. He's not the people's champion for nothing. I just dropped you back down from a C-minus to a D-plus as far as your production skills.
Why do I always got to get dropped back down when
that's
I don't
all right.
follow you?
At night, it's allowed, man. It just doesn't matter. No one listens. It doesn't matter. We can do it. We can get away with it.
You talking about we're the most lit show?
I'm trying to figure something out tonight with this football team. And I'm demanding excellence from the Jaguar fans. I want to know two things. Why can't the team win in freaking October? And why can't the team get out to a 7-0 lead? That's all I'm asking. Okay? They've been trailing in 5 out of their 6 games so far this year. They have been trailing by double digits in the second half in 4 out of these 6 games. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. It doesn't matter if it's at 1 p.m., 4 p.m. It doesn't matter if it's indoors or out. It doesn't matter what the situation is. The Jaguars are trailing. And in most cases, the Jaguars are trailing by double digits in the second half. And I'm trying to do whatever it takes to get that to stop, or at least figure out from you why that is. So share your opinion with me. Best way to do it is on the 1010XL text line, 641-1010, built to you by Lifetime Enclosures. All right, you can also get me on Twitter tonight, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. I went back and I've read a lot on all of the earlier recaps to some of these games. You know, I try to make a point earlier in the week that Cincinnati is better than what the record would indicate, and how 4 of their 6 losses have been by 6 points or less and a couple by a field goal or less. Honestly, they packed on really some garbage points in a couple of those games. They were well out of it and just found their way back into a one-possession type of game. This is what is alarming to me. This is, without question, the most inferior opponent that they have faced. And this team is yet to be able to put together 60 quality minutes of all 3 phases. It's so hard in this league to win on the road that I believe if they don't do that, this team could stumble there against the Bengals. So we'll come back, we'll discuss that, give you an opportunity to voice your opinion as well. We're just barely underway right here on this Thursday night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They're hiring right now throughout Clay County. That includes a $1,500 signing bonus. Just apply online. Go to AdvancedDisposal.com/careers. Again, $1,500 signing bonus if you apply in Clay County to drive. They're also hiring all throughout Jacksonville. But Clay County is good for a $1,500 signing bonus. And once again, you need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. If so, $1,500 signing bonus. All right, we got a lot to get into as far as trying to get things rolling early on. Okay? That is one of my really major dilemmas right now with this football team. I don't say it often in the NFL because it's such a competitive league. I think it's said most in, you know, the college game, even college basketball. I remember some years observing the beloved under Jimbo Fisher, where I thought he was classic when it came to the quote-unquote playing to the level of the competition. It seems like away from the year of the Natty and the 29-game win streak, Jimbo Fisher every year was going to drop a major scud on a team that Florida State was a much better program than. See NC State, see UNC, see Georgia Tech. You get what I'm trying to say here. It happened almost every year for Jimbo Fisher. You don't do that a lot in the NFL because these lines are typically 3 points or less, or, you know, at the most, they're around a touchdown. That's the case this week. Jaguars favored by 3, maybe 3 and a hook. By the way, the Philly Godfather called in sick tonight. Instead, we're going to tap into one of his great resources. The Philly Rooster will join us at 8 o'clock tonight. Apparently, picking nothing but winners out there. We'll see. He's up at 8 o'clock. But I look at things that are going wrong with the Jaguars team. I also look at things that are going right with the Jaguars team. One thing that really sticks out for me and is completely alarming is that, yes, they're doing a better job this year offensively, certainly better than what they were able to do one season ago. But here we are, 6 games in, and what sticks out more than anything? Red zone offense, particularly rushing offense. One rushing touchdown all year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I saw this earlier in the week. It came from NFL Media. The 2019 season, through 6 weeks, 167 rushing touchdowns. Okay? The all-time record was in 1979 with 187 at this particular point. 167 so far this year in 6 weeks. You know what the Jaguars have added to that list? One rushing touchdown. I mean, the days of giving it to Toby Gerhart 4 times at the goal line and running a sweep with Toby Gerhart are gone. This is supposed to be a big, imposing, physical, nasty offensive line where you can employ a fullback or a tight end and make them a fullback and run and pick up yards. And to credit the Jaguars, in the last 3 weeks, they've done a nice job, particularly in the second half, running the football, especially in Denver 3 weeks ago. It was pretty good last week in Carolina. You know, they had to calm things down a little bit against New Orleans because, let's just face it, in that particular day, they just struggled to move the football, both in the air and on the ground. But still, Fournette, yards from scrimmage, went over 100 for what? I think it was a third consecutive week. Why can't they score a rushing touchdown? I just gave you the numbers. They have one on the season. I mean, it's completely baffling to me at this particular point that they would be that low with that particular, you know, just for the sake of argument. I was going to bring up Cincinnati here, but what a shock. The computer died on. I think maybe it's time for me to go buy the laptop. You think so?
You going
to
make the change?
Well, I just, instead of complaining about it, you know, wouldn't it be better off if I just went out and got a laptop?
Join us, Rick.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know.
More efficient.
I just don't like stuff like that. I'm looking at, you know, Buffalo's got 6. Arizona on the ground, 5. I mean, you look at every team in the league. They have been able to score on the ground. The Jaguars cannot score on the ground. So, anyway, for what it's worth, I think that's one of the major issues why they have struggled to get out of the gate. The 7405 says the answer is play calling. It never comes out attacking. Well, some will tell you that they have the 15 plays that are scripted, and that often changes based on overall field position. If you look at starting field position last week and see where the Jags started, it was always, it seemed, behind their own 20. And I want to say that New Orleans started somewhere around the neighborhood of the 35. That is something that is lost all the time when you look and evaluate what is going on with a football team. Average starting field position is a huge element. And the Jaguars, I think, have a very good special teams. Yet last week, it didn't work out that way. It seems like flipping of field position in a game in which there was a tremendous amount of punts, that really worked in that really worked against them and in favor of New Orleans. It's an awful lot to ask a rookie quarterback to drive 89 yards. And it seems like that's the way the Jaguars were working last week offensively. By the way, John DeFilippo today took full credit for the mistakes that were made with the lack of play calling in the game against the Saints. He went on to say, quote, "I do not feel like I did a good enough job of putting our players in position to have success. Starting with me, there's no doubt I need to do a better job than I did on Sunday." You know, I kind of wish that John DeFilippo was down on the sideline. I wish that he had the tutelage that was necessary to be there right next to Gardner Minshew. Now, I also understand that it is very difficult to figure out what's going on the sideline and see the entire field, that you get a better observation from being upstairs. But I always like it when my guy's down there, having the opportunity to talk with my quarterback in between possessions when the defense is out there. I think Scott Milanovich is doing a nice job. Obviously, Nick Foles is very much involved. But I think it matters, especially with a young guy. You know, Doug Marone was asked about this. If he forgot, the first two games of the year, John DeFilippo worked on the sideline. The last two preseason games of the year, John DeFilippo elected to go up into the coach's box. He has remained up in the coach's box during the six regular season games. It's what they feel is best for them, how they're most comfortable, what they believe. I was just reminded of this as the other side of my brain interrupted me. There was actually a point this year at Florida State where they did not have one defensive coach in the box. I'm not even lying, okay? I'm not even lying. They didn't have one coach in the box. I mean, there's not a high school team that doesn't have a coach in the box. Anyway, try to do your show, Baloo, and remember how lucky you are and how fortunate you are. Don't get so freaking disrupted by how bad things are right now, coaching-wise, with your alma mater. But I think it is comfortable. You know, how comfortable are you? I've always felt like, in a perfect world, I'd much rather have my guy down on the sideline. They didn't ask for my opinion. Hey, before I get to these calls, you know what happened 2 years ago today on this date? Josh Lambeau was signed. Who? Exactly. Who knew anything about Josh Lambeau on October 17th, 2017? Ever since Josh Lambeau came here, he has made 52 of 55 field goals. 52 of 55. That's 94.5%. In his career, Josh Lambeau has made all 33 field goals at home. Josh Lambeau has made 24 consecutive, field goals as well, which is still a Jacksonville Jaguars team record. And, of course, they signed him to a contract extension back on February 11th. But it deserves recognition. It's not too often that you really ever talk about a place kicker in general unless he misses. Why not crediting for something that's gone right here? And I'm not going to take sides and go back and forth and waste my time tonight, you know, talking about the front office and what they do and what they don't do. Obviously, they've been massively criticized for not speaking at all on the Jalen Ramsey situation. You know, it appeared that Doug Marone showed some frustration yesterday. I know a lot of you people out there already have your mind made up, whether it's thumbs up or thumbs down, on Tom Coughlin and Dave Caldwell. And those who pointed a thumbs down will criticize and criticize and criticize. Well, sometimes you got to call it for what it is. This is a pretty damn good signing. Josh Lambeau turned out to be an unbelievable signing. He may be the best place kicker right now in the NFL. I swear to you not, when he lined up in Denver, and I worry about everything sports related, especially kickers. Look where I went to school, for crying out loud. I went to freaking Florida State. the home of wide rights. You know, back when they were something, back when they did give a damn, they would miss field goals. I was absolutely convinced that Josh Lambeau was going to make that field goal against Denver. I didn't sweat it for 1 second. I had never been so confident during a field goal in my life. I looked at this kid and said, he is absolute money. I watch him on the sideline all the time, the routine that he goes through. I mean, he's 52 of 55. Give him some credit. And while you're at it, give Dave Caldwell some credit. He went out and found him. Again, Caldwell's not patting me on the back. He's not giving me $100 handshakes. No one tells me what to say, but it's so easy to criticize. Every once in a while, you also should recognize. And in this case, this was a phenomenal signing. Picking up Josh Lambeau. I mean, how confident are you as a team, as a fan of this team? Now, when it comes down to him, he's going to make it. Whether it's here or on the road, that includes this weekend in Cincinnati. So what a great signing. 2 years ago today, again, 52 of 55. Made every kick he's ever attempted in Jacksonville. All 33 of them. That, folks, is impressive. All right, when I get back, let's begin grabbing some of these phone calls. We'll start with Lance. 641-1010, that is the number. You can also get me on Twitter. Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010, XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the Jaguars have had a lot of success against the AFC North in their 25-year history. This would actually be 24 years heading in to year 25. But, I mean, comparably speaking, if you look at the AFC South, the Jaguars, their winning percentage against the Colts lifetime is 36.1%. Ugh. Against the Texans, 38.2%. And they lost again to them this year, so that goes down even more. Against the Titans, 41.7%. So against their AFC South rivals, it's not good. Yeah, you go out north, ladies and gentlemen. Cleveland, a winning percentage of 70.6. Baltimore, 57.1. Cincinnati, 57.1. Pittsburgh, dead even at 50%. And that's what you got to hang your hat on. They've had success against the AFC North. Hey, I'm all about good news here tonight. I'm just reaching for positivity. I want a freaking 7-0 game, Jacksonville. Is that too much to ask? That's what I want. At about 1:15 on Sunday, I want you sitting on your couch or you digging your elbows into a bar somewhere, hoisting your frosty one to your buddy next to you because it says Jaguars 7, Bengals nothing. That's all I'm asking. And I'm also asking this, why does that never happen? Why are they trailing in 5 out of their 6 games? Again, this stat here says Cincinnati's been trailing 76% of the time so far this year. Well, I'd like to know what Jacksonville's number is. Outside of Tennessee, they've been trailing in all 5 of those other games. It's amazing to me. And it's also, frankly, unacceptable. It really is. I mean, it is the same old, same old, same old every single game. Fix it! Score first! Let's grab a couple of calls. 641-1010. Let's start with Lance on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. How you doing, Lance?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So, question goes kind of along with what you were just saying. It's more of a pet peeve. Why don't they play to the bell on the first half. It seems like they run off the last 30 seconds, 45 seconds, but when it comes to the fourth quarter, it's like every second counts. Is that, I mean, that's more of a pet peeve of mine, I guess, but I'm just.
Well, and that goes back to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago where they took a knee. You know, they've changed things up. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new quarterback. I thought this year the eye test told me that they were a little less predictable. There was a little bit more pass when you expected run, a little bit more run when you expected pass. I don't have the answer for you, Lance. They're a completely different football team in the second half. I mean, again, they've been down by double digits four times in six games in the second half, and they've been able to come back in those games.
I don't know. I appreciate it, definitely.
I don't know why they start slow. I do not have an answer for you. Boy, I just don't. I really wish that I did. I've asked Doug Marrone this question many times. I've asked Gardner Minshew this question many times. Other members of the media have asked the question. Why do you start so slow? Why can't you run in the first half? Why aren't you able to create any turnovers? You've played six games, and you have one defensive takeaway. One in six games. You have no knockdown passes in six games. How does this happen? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. It's not for the lack of effort. It's not for the lack of coaching. It's just not happening. I don't know. I think it was Doug Marrone last week who said when we start tipping balls and knocking balls, that's when you get interception. They don't have any batted down balls all year. I mean, look what they did in 2017. They batted down balls. They had 53 sacks. They had seven defensive touchdowns. They were a plus 10 in the turnover takeaway ratio. They went from plus 10 in the turnover takeaway ratio to minus 12 last year. That's a difference of 22 in one season. And let me find it for you right here. They are plus 5 so far this year. Minus 5, excuse me. They have given the ball away seven times, and they have two takeaways. One of those in special teams. That's terrible. That's awful. And it's not for the lack of trying. It's just not happening. I go back to that game. There was that fumble right there in front of Calais Campbell. He couldn't get it. I mean, he had the dropped interception a couple of weeks ago by Herndon, which I actually think worked out better for them because it forced the punt and they had actually did have better field position. But they no turnovers. We've had two forced fumbles all year. I mean, you've played six games. Two forced fumbles. One on a punt. Seriously, when you look at numbers like this, it's amazing that they're not 0-6 or 1-5. And I guess others would say they're one. Others would tell me they're an Emmanuel Sanders running out of bounds from being 1-5. That Emmanuel Sanders, as a veteran wide receiver, for one reason or another, elected to run out of bounds during that final drive for Denver. A month ago. He stays inbounds. Denver wins that game. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm trying to fix the freaking problem. I'm trying to figure out why this is. You know, they tell you these coaches work 14, 16, 18-hour days. They're probably sitting right now in a room, pounding the table, saying, why can't we get any turnovers? Why can't we score first? It's not a felony, it's not a misdemeanor to score first. You're allowed to go up 3-0. You're allowed to go up 7-0. That is allowed. Every game that you play, you don't have to be trailing. You can take a lead. It's allowed. Let's go to Mike, who's next up on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Welcome.
How you doing tonight, Rick?
Hi, Mike. I'm great.
Good, man. I just think it is a cultural issue with this organization at this point. You look at the last 10 years. Okay, we have one winning season in the last 10 years. 10% a winning season for a team. I mean, that's not a player issue, okay? You're getting the players. You're spending the money on the players. Mm-hmm. That's a cultural and a coaching issue. And until they change that, it's not going to change.
All right, so what do you recommend? Since I've been back in 2006, they've had four coaches. They've had several offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, several quarterbacks. They've had great draft picks. They've brought in a ton of high-priced free agents. How do you change the culture?
They have had nobody with any fire on that sideline from a coaching standpoint.
I would tend to agree with you there. I've seen Doug Marrone with some fire. He certainly has the most of them all. But I kind of think that's the way the league is now, Mike. Give me a couple of NFL coaches who have fire.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know, but it's, you know, obviously it doesn't work in our organization. You know, there's something somewhere that is definitely broken. I mean, when you have one 500 season in 10 years and one season where you're, I don't know, were they 11-5 and 17 or something like that, that's an issue when every other season. I mean, and they haven't had the worst schedules either. I mean, they've had some pretty decent schedules over the years too.
I mean, they're playing a last place schedule right now.
Yeah.
You know, I like your point, but this is what I'm trying to figure out, because this is the changing ways of the NFL. Here we are the same week where your best player just quit on this organization because obviously he thought that the front office was too tough. So you're saying bring in a more vocal coach or a coach with more fire. How can you bring in a coach with more fire when the league is turning into a player-first league where you can't discipline today's millennials? They'll freaking get up and quit on you, just like Jalen Ramsey did.
Yeah, I mean, that. I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere in between.
Yeah.
There are teams that make it work. I don't know.
There's very few who do, and it's the one in New England. All right, and Michael Bennett suspended this week. And there's a lot of talk that they may try to trade him before the deal. There's not a lot of teams that can pull that off. It's today's pro football. It doesn't mean that today's game is better. It doesn't mean that today's league is better. It's about changing with the times. I mean, it's all evolved. This goes back to mommy and daddy. You know, no discipline, trophies for the losing team as well. Go track Jalen Ramsey. He went to a couple of different high schools because he didn't always have his way. He pissed and moaned at Florida State. He upset the veterans as a true freshman. The only reason why it was allowed is they found out the kid could play. Next to Deion Sanders, he was the only defensive back to only start as a true freshman. The kid could play. He got here, the same deal. Started complaining about the way he was being used when he was a rookie. That's today's way. The young kids complain and they bitch. And if you discipline them or question them, what do? They leave. They transfer in high school. They transfer in college. And in this case, they leave as an NFL player. So, bringing in a hard ass sounds great, but it doesn't work in today's locker room. Give me a hard ass in the NFL besides Bill Belichick. Give me one. Is Bill Bryan a hard ass? Bill O'Brien a hard ass? He just lost to Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know. Is he? who's a tough coach in the NFL? An in-your-face tough coach in the NFL. I'm all ears on that. It's not like the days when we grew up where there was Coughlin and there was Parcells and there was Ditka and there was Chuck Knoll and there was Vince Lombardi. Those days are, those are dinosaurs, man. You've got to, you saw the way that Gruden handled things this year on Hard Knocks. It doesn't make it right. But what it says is you better change with it. It's only going to get worse. The collective bargaining agreement is going to favor these players that much more. Look at how it's changed over the years. Two-a-days are gone. Hitting in practice is gone. Voluntary used to mean you better get your ass in there and be there for every single one of them. Look at how it's all changed. It's going to change even more. And you know what? I understand that because these contracts aren't guaranteed. It's not the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball. In Major League Baseball, you can hit 180 or you can hit 320, and you're bringing home every cent of your contract. It's guaranteed. Same with the NBA. It's not here in pro football. You could be cut tomorrow for any number of reasons. Fire on the sideline, a fiery coach. I appreciate that last call. But I'm just sitting here trying to figure out, really? You're going to bring in a fiery coach and try to get to, we're not talking about yesterday's player. We're not talking about for the love of the game. We're not. I say it all the time, and I'll always say it. Just look at midfield at the end of the game when you're crying into your beer and they're hugging one another and they're grabbing one another and they're smiling and they're ripping off their shirts and signing. And, man, they're already over the freaking loss. You're not even in your car yet. You're not even in the parking lot yet. You're devastated. They're over it. I'm not talking about Jacksonville. I'm talking about professional athletics. It's their business, man. It's just like you checking out today at 5 o'clock. Just like you tomorrow, looking forward tomorrow at Friday, whether you hit your quota, you miss your quota, you have a banner week, or it's a horrible week. Once 5 o'clock comes, man, and that's it. Same thing for them. When that gun hits 0-0-0, it's over. It's their business. You can't bring in a guy who's going to scream and yell. It doesn't work anymore. You can't do it. Philly Godfather is off tonight. We will do the Philly Rooster. Let's chase the money. Let's look at the Jags game, the college games, all coming up next with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, make sure you're with us tomorrow for our Football Friday show. That's 5 to 7. A lot of scheduled guests, a lot of Jaguar analysis as they go to Cincinnati. Plus everything that's going on in college football. Tim Brando, among others, will join me tomorrow from 5 until 7. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They are hiring right now all throughout Jacksonville. And if you want to drive in Clay County, it includes a $1,500 signing bonus. You'd need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. Apply online. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. Again, a $1,500 signing bonus to drive in Clay County. All right, let's take a look at where the money's been going on some of these games of local interest. Let's bring in the Philly Rooster. He joins Rick Ballew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Philly Rooster, it's been a little while. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, guys. How you been?
Man, we're doing okay. We're doing all right. I know last week a lot of people were on the Jaguars against New Orleans, and obviously New Orleans came in and had a big victory. Now all of a sudden the Jags go back out on the road three times in the last 4 weeks against a Cincinnati team that is just ravaged with injuries and frankly not that good. What's your outlook on this game coming up on Sunday?
Well, this is an interesting game. The line opened 4.5, and as you know, I'm a student of the numbers here, and I follow the money, and this game has not moved. It stayed 4.5 the whole week. What did pile in, though, is money on the under, which I'm actually not surprised at because Cincinnati cannot get out of their own way. Generally, in these cases, I like home dogs, but in this particular case, I like Jacksonville, only because Jacksonville does not turn the ball over. And this is an interesting matchup because the last two times these teams faced each other, the road teams won the game.
Right.
Yeah, so Jacksonville won in 2017 at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati beat you guys there in Florida in 2014.
Do you subscribe at all, Philly Rooster, to the way it is in the NBA where people talk about tanking and things along those lines? I don't, because money's not guaranteed in the NFL, and there's still a lot to play for. I mean, this is only week 7, so what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it happens this early in the season. I mean, especially when you're dealing with a veteran quarterback in Cincinnati and some veteran players, and you also have some young players that are going for their next contract. I believe that happens in week 12 to 16, and it's not at all the players doing it. It's the coaching. You can tell when you see some crazy substitutions on the defensive line in key spots and you see some changes on the offensive line. You can see the coaches doing it, but it's definitely not the players.
All right, so there's been a lot of money on the under. I think I saw it open up around 47.5. I see it down to around 44 in some places.
Yeah, it's 44 pretty much everywhere, and it's going down. You actually, in most places in Vegas, you have to pay extra juice to bet the under. And that means, and 44 is a key number in the NFL. Your key numbers in the NFL are 37, 41, 44, and 51. So if it goes under 44, now I might be looking at an over position.
All right. When you look at the Jags here, and again, laying the points, I mean, how much changes for you depending on what you get the number at? I mean, 4.5 is kind of a tricky number for me, but I mean, in some places you may be able to get that at 3. How much would that affect what you're going to do involved in a game like this?
Well, 3, now you're talking about the god of all football numbers. If you bet just teams taking plus 3.5, you're going to hit 68% of the time, lifetime, over the last 10 years. If you lay 2.5, you're looking at around a 63% win percentage. I don't care who the team is. I don't care where they're playing. Doesn't matter. So 3 is a different kind of animal. But 4 is actually a good number as well. In this game, I would look at, I would lay 4.5. It, going up doesn't matter. 5 doesn't matter. Not until you get to number 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as you get to the 3 number, that's the god of NFL.
Because the house wins.
Well, it's just such a key number. So many games land on 3. 10% of the games land on 3.
And the house wins.
Percentage, yeah, that percentage goes up when you're looking at a game that's favored by 3.
All right, let's get to Saturday. And you look at what South Carolina did in double overtime. They had a tremendous win by knocking off Georgia. Now here comes Florida, who's played, you know, some really good football. But, you know, could there be a little bit of a hangover here after laying it all on the field and not getting it done in Baton Rouge? How do you look at this game here between South Carolina and the University of Florida?
Well, the lucky thing for Florida here is they both laid it all on the line last week. South Carolina basically won their national championship last week. They're going to be in a bowl game, but it's not going to be a major bowl game. I think Florida can bounce back here. I really do. Now, this game opened 5.5. And it's down to 4.5 in most spots. There's still some 5s in Vegas. But I have a feeling the square money is going to come in on South Carolina here since they're at home. And, you know, after beating Georgia, everybody thinks they're so unbelievable. But this is a good spot for me to hang back and wait to lay, hopefully, 3 minus 20 or, you know, a money line.
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard today that it looks like Ryan Helinski is going to be able to play for South Carolina, which would certainly be good news there. They last week, it was bend but do not break. I mean, Philly, you look at that game, I want to say they allowed 475 yards to Georgia. They made some huge mistakes, and they couldn't capitalize and score. So I thought it was a huge win for South Carolina, but I think Florida's the more talented football team here.
There's absolutely no question about it. And one thing you'll notice about college football as opposed to pro football, the odds makers and the bettors overreact wildly in college. So what I try to do is stay pretty much tame. So I'll be looking at a bet on Georgia this week, and I'll be looking at a bet on Florida because they're the two teams that I think are going to bounce back hard. And South Carolina is a 500 team, and they're probably going to end up a 500 team. They have a pretty tough schedule coming, as you know.
Mm-hmm. What is does your philosophy change on as opposed to laying in 3 or 3.5 and trying to win outright if you're the Gators on the road compared to, let's say dropping 220 to win 100 or 210 to win 100 and playing the money line? What's your overall thought process on something like that?
Well, there can be an edge on pretty much anything. I play a lot of money lines, whether it be favorites or dogs, based on where the money line is, based on the line. So on a 3 count, I'll lay anything under 160 as opposed to laying the 3. And same thing when I'm taking an underdog. I'll take anything higher than plus 140 as opposed to taking a 3 count. The numbers aren't as key in the college game as they are in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a money line player. I play a lot of money lines. I play money line parlays. But wherever I think there's an edge versus what we made the game, that's basically what I bet.
So this would be to the definition of the Philly Rooster does not play teams. The Philly Rooster plays numbers.
Oh, yeah, I bet numbers. I'm a fan of no team. I don't own any jersey. You know, if it's I'm from Philly, but if it's the Eagles playing and I can take a point off the line either side, I'm betting it.
All right, well, let's wrap with this. I am a fan of my alma mater, and they just got blown out this past week by Clemson. And, I stayed up and I watched that game. Wake Forest, I'll give them credit, man. They did not give up in that 62-59 game to Louisville. This is one of those games when you say it, it just doesn't make any sense. Wake Forest is favored over Florida State, even though the Noles are clearly struggling at this point. How do you look at this game on Saturday?
I hate to give you the bad news, but I really like Wake Forest in this spot. I mean, they're at home. They're a very talented team. They're very deep as well. Now, I do like Florida State. They've had a couple of tough losses this year. They're 3-3, as you know. But I just think this is a great spot for Wake Forest. They had a tough loss last week. They're probably tired, but they're at home. That's a great stadium to play in. And, North Carolina, although it's not a far travel for Florida State, it's a tough place to play in.
All right, so you like Wake Forest, and I've seen a whole bunch of different things. I've seen them favored by 2. I've seen them favored by 3. What's the latest? What do you have there?
It's pretty much in Vegas. It's 1.5 and 2,
all right,
and the total 68. There hasn't been much movement on this game. I think there will be game day. This will be a highly bet matchup, I believe. Florida State always takes a lot of money. And Wake is a kind of a fan favorite this year.
All right, Philly Rooster, how do the listeners here throughout Northern Florida and South Georgia, how do they get a hold of you?
I'm on Twitter at phillyrooster.com, and we're at the phillygodfather.com. You can pick any of our great handicappers. We're the animals. We've had books written about us, and this is what we do.
And we always appreciate your time here. Thank you so much, Philly Rooster. Catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good.
There he goes, the Philly Rooster joining us. Likes Wake Forest. Likes the under on Jacksonville-Cincy. Likes Jacksonville. Likes the Gators so much that he believes he's going to play Moneyline. Now, I would think that the people who are really paying attention understand this. Others who do not, The difference between a money line bet and a straight up bet is this. If Florida's favored by, let's say the number sits come kick, 3.5. I think right now it's at 4, 4.5. He said he thought some professional money was going to come in here on South Carolina. So let's just say it's 3.5. If you take Florida minus the 3.5 when the game ends, you have to win by 4. If you play money line, all you have to do if you're a Florida wagerer is, or if you wager on Florida, is win by 1. But the difference being, you know, the juice on a $100 bet minus 3.5 is $110. The money line bet to win by just 1, you're probably going to have to lay $210, maybe $220 to win back 100. That's the difference between money line and straight up. Do you understand that, RJ Saunders?
I think I'm going to need a couple more weeks of you continuously saying that so that I can get it.
Well, you don't really listen to the show. I was kind of hoping that our listening audience would listen to the show.
Whoa. I don't listen to the show?
Oh, crying out loud. Show a little bit of sense of humor, will you?
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny, Rick.
Did you really not understand the difference between money line? Is it me as a bad teacher? Do I not know how to explain it?
It's not that. I just never gambled before. So when people say like money line, parlay, straight up bet, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Because it's not you. It's not in your blood.
Not in my blood. I'm too scared to bet.
Well, that's smart. It is. I haven't bet in over 8 years, and I have absolutely no urge to bet. But there's a much higher risk for money line. But all you have to do is win by 1 point. So, you know. And again, you're playing numbers. You're not playing teams. For most of our listeners out there, they can't relate to that because they're absolutely playing teams. And what do you do if you're just a casual bettor? And you live in North Florida. Each week you're looking at the Jaguars line, and then you're looking at the Gators, the Seminoles, the Dogs, and probably the Canes. And then maybe some top-notch games in the SEC. If you're a casual gambler, and you're not playing numbers, you're playing teams. And that's fair. Guys I bring on are they do this professionally. It's all they do is look at this stuff. And that whole conversation we had about 3, I hope you understand that as well. That's why, you know, getting a bet at 3.5 or 2.5, you're guaranteed to either win or lose. Where if you get it at 3 and it's a push, you're going to lose your juice, which means the house wins. So, but you knew that. All right, let's come back. We got much more to do. We'll get some news and notes in there as well. We're going to go till 9 o'clock tonight right here on this Thursday. The number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 641-1010. We go till 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Ballew.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's like 80s rock, right? Is this Chaka Khan?
No, this is Robert Palmer.
Oh, it is Robert Palmer, yes. Remember those old videos during the MTV stage with all those ladies up there that look kind of robotic with the short hair, all dancing in sync?
That may be a little bit before my time.
Yeah, I remember. It's just you got to multiply. I think it is. Man, reminds me of my days sitting at home studying at Florida State while everyone else was out partying. Needed to hit the books. Needed to grab my education so I could be successful in life. And, you know, RJ, those folks over there at Florida State did a wonderful job teaching me how to weed and white.
I'm pretty sure they did. I mean, what? Criminology, that's what you graduated with?
Oh, yeah. Got a criminology degree. Sure do.
Better than what I graduated with. I just graduated with a communications degree.
Criminology degree, want to be a Secret Service agent. But when I started getting arrested for such things as public urination, that dream fell short. So I ended up doing nights here in Jacksonville.
That's where they drew the line?
I was actually with my dad in Orlando when it happened. I was like, hold on, Dad, I got to visit this bush. Next thing I know, they put one of these plastic. I'm like, you're not really throwing me in the drunk tank. Like, there's no one around. It's not like I did it out in public. Come on. You know how many gallons of water you waste when you flush the toilet? I just went behind a bush. I could have been bitten by a poisonous snake, for crying out loud. Right there out on Church Street Station. Oh, they took me away. They're coming to take me away. They're coming to take me away. All right. I got a lot of happy pills in me tonight. I'm feeling good. I could see it right now. Repeat after me. 7-0 Jacksonville.
7-0 Jacksonville.
That's it. I love it. I feel it. The Bengals have a ton of problems, man. They really do. A ton of problems. I think the Jags are going to go out there and get up early. The 8846 says fans are eventually going to revolt en masse if this millennial behavior continues. It's absolutely going to continue. It's only going to get worse. And, I mean, what indication do you have that it's not going to continue? Old school is gone. Tougher than the rest is gone. We have gone from a society where moms and dads used to say, all I want is for my kids to have it easier than I had. I know I'm guilty of that with my daughters. And by the way, I had an unbelievable upbringing. Working class parents. I think today's kids, millennials, Generation Z, are going to turn it into, I want you to have it exactly the way I had it. And it sounds a little bit like this. If it's not going the way you want it, quit. Transfer. Go somewhere else. Do something different. Quit your job. Go to another school. Your girlfriend wore something that you didn't like? Break up with her. Your boss actually questioned what you were doing? Leave your job. You're not the starting quarterback? Go to another school. You have 2 years remaining on your contract, including $13.7 million next year? Hurt your back and force your way out of town. It's not going to change. I mean, I just got 4 tickets for that game next week between Florida State and Syracuse. The Philly Rooster just came live on 1010XL and 92.5 FM and said he likes Wake Forest. Saturday night against Florida State. If Wake Forest wins that game, how many people do you think are going to be in attendance at Doak Campbell the following Saturday for that football game at 3:30. And you know who's going to lead the charge to not be there? The students. The millennials. The Generation Z. They're not going to be there. And those students are going to get married before you know it and start having kids. So this is never going to go away. I mean, before you know it, we're going to have stadiums that hold 30,000. And kids aren't going to go to games anymore. They're going to sit there and watch it on their phone. You expect me to devote three and a half hours out of my day to go to a game? I can't do that. I can't do anything for 3.5 hours. I'm telling you, man. And don't blame these kids. Don't blame the millennials. Okay, blame me. Blame the moms and the dads. We're the ones who let them off the hook. We're the ones who okayed them to quit. I mean, seriously, go back and ask your dad. Go back and ask your mom what it was like. And I know it drives millennials crazy to hear that. Oh, I had to get up to turn the channel on the TV. Oh, I had to go open up the garage door. We didn't have a garage door opener. I mean, it drives them crazy. Well, you know what? But you know what back then? You know what happened? People worked and they stayed with their job. People stayed with their marriage. They didn't go from school to school. They didn't go from place to place. If they had a rough day, they buckled down and they went after it the next day. Everything today is, oh, I'm going to sulk, I'm going to pout, I'm going to cry. Oh, no, please, there's nothing worse than seeing my baby cry. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. We'll send you to a new school. Oh, don't cry, don't cry. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. They're relying on me to go to work tomorrow. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. That's today's generation. And I have no answers for you on how you're going to change that. None. Absolutely none. Let's go to Brian, who's next up with Rick Ballew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
So I've been going to every game this year, home and away. Seen you a couple times on the sideline. But I just want to do a quick shout-out to the fans in Jacksonville. I mean, no matter how hot it is, I mean, we're still there. You know, there's still droves and droves of fans. I mean, I'm looking at tickets right now for the Cincinnati game, and they're selling Section 100 tickets for $21.
Are you the one who's always down front row with the big outfit on?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Yeah, I recognize you. So, are you going to be in Cincinnati?
I'll be there. I'm going to every game this year but London.
Man, that's great. Yeah, I'm very impressed with, you know, the thousands that I saw who made it to Denver as well as to Charlotte. There's no doubt.
Yes, that's the thing I try to convey to people. I was like, I mean, here we are. We're a 25-year-old franchise. We have two, maybe three generations compared to some of these teams that have seven. Around. So it's generational, and it's so cool to finally start seeing, like, I had this little girl sits behind me in my section of 123, and, you know, she started wearing a cape this year. So little stuff like that. She's 9 years old, you know, and I'm like, yes, we're building the next generation. So I just wanted to say that piece and shout out to those fans that sit out there to that last minute, no matter what the score is.
No doubt about it. Brian, thanks, man. I'll see you this weekend in Cincinnati. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, and the people around here get it. And this fan base deserves to be credited more than anything because, you know, it's been a losing franchise. And there's been a lot of hearts broken. I mean, you've had three tremendous years in this being the 25th season. Three AFC championship games. Look at Cincinnati. Look at the place they're going. I looked this up the other day. Let me find this real quick. I think it's 28 years, maybe. How about this one, RJ? You ready for this? NFL teams. Win drought in the postseason. The Cincinnati Bengals have gone 28 years without winning a playoff football game.
But they've been to the playoffs like how many times?
I'd have to look that up. I mean, certainly they were there back in the days with – they had a little bit of a run, I believe, with Ken Anderson. I know they made it to a Super Bowl, I want to say, with Boomer Esiason growing up. They had a couple of good years. They've made it to the playoffs with Marvin Lewis. They always got knocked out in the first round. I think they got knocked out like maybe 8 years.
That's what I was saying. Like, yep. Wait, so during the times with Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton – they haven't won?
Never. They haven't won a Super Bowl. They have not won a playoff game in 28 years.
That is tough.
Now, I think they've been to the playoffs. My guess is they probably have been to the playoffs maybe 10, 11 of those 28 years. I'm just guessing that offhand. But they haven't won a playoff game. The team that got robbed Monday night, the two bad calls, Detroit. 27 years without winning a playoff football game. The Detroit Lions.
That's tough. You got to be kidding me, Rick.
Buffalo came in here 2 years ago. Remember that game? How can we forget? Blake Bortles to Ben Koyak. Jalen Ramsey, the pick. Big win for the Jags. the Buffalo Bills have not won a playoff game in 23 years.
Well, they're still recovering off the four straight Super Bowl losses.
The Cleveland Browns have not won a playoff game in 21 years.
Make it 22.
The Miami Dolphins have not won a playoff game in 18 seasons. Oakland, 16. Tampa Bay, 16. The Washington Redskins, okay, they've won four Super Bowls with four different quarterbacks. Can you name them?
I cannot, so I'm going to look to you on this one.
Well, I'm going to go Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon. Did they win with Billy Kilmer? I think they may have. Look that up. You're the best producer in the bill. I'll bump you back up to a C- if you look that up. The New York Jets have gone 8 years without winning a playoff game. The Bears, 8 years. The Giants have gone 7 years without winning one. It's probably since the Super Bowl win, right? I'm guessing it has to have been. The year they knocked off the Patriots trying to be 19-0. Haven't won a playoff game since then. 49, and then it starts to really lessen. 49ers, 5 years. Ravens, four. Cardinals, Panthers, Broncos, three. Houston, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Tennessee, Atlanta, Jacksonville, and Minnesota, one. And then, of course, all the teams who made it to the playoffs and won a year ago included Indianapolis, the Los Angeles Chargers, Dallas, Philadelphia, New Orleans, Kansas City, the L.A. Rams, and the New England Patriots. But, I mean, that is just staggering. Can you imagine being in Cincinnati? They have not won a playoff football game in 28 years. And here come the Jaguars. And I'm going to spell out what's going on in Cincinnati for you on the other side with news and notes. Because what is going on now with Cordy Glenn is really like a Jalen Ramsey story with almost no press. If you haven't heard, Cordy Glenn's missed the entire year with a concussion. He practiced fully yesterday, but apparently there was a big situation that happened there today. So I'll share that with you coming up. The Bengals, 28 years. And, you know, look at this state. You know? Miami hasn't won a playoff game in 18 years, and Tampa Bay hasn't won a playoff game in 16 years. So, I'm just thinking out loud here, but my guess would be that Tampa Bay hasn't won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl. That would be my guess. Anyway, there you have it.
I got the quarterbacks for you.
Give them to me.
Theismann actually won twice.
Oh.
And then Williams and also Rypien. So it went Theismann, Williams, Rypien, then Theismann again.
All right, so it was Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, and then Mark Rippon?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
Hold on.
I believe it. I didn't know if Billy Kilmer, and that was back when I was, in diapers.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. So Theismann only won once, Williams won once, and Rypien won once. Theismann did not win again.
They only have three Super Bowls.
Only three Super Bowl wins.
Okay, why did I think Joe Gibbs won four? Maybe he only did win three. Okay. All right. Good enough. Let's do news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. They're coming up next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right. Make sure you're with us tomorrow, 5 to 7. Lots planned on Friday. We're going to go to Cincinnati tomorrow and talk one of their better writers. I've been reading everything that he has written this past week. Ben Baby will join us, covers the Bengals for ESPN. That's going to be in the first hour. Tomorrow, Tim Brando will be in Stillwater to get ready for that game between Oak State and Baylor. We'll talk to Timmy B about some college football situations, including the Gators going back out on the road. South Carolina, my gosh. What a win for them. And double overtime against Georgia. Ryan Helinski beaten up, but apparently he's going to be able to give it a go. That was huge for Florida a year ago. I honestly think That's the biggest win so far in Dan Mullen's career. Only because of the way that they came back. I mean, Florida was dead. It was like the Miami-Florida State game where Miami, you know, Nakosi Perry couldn't do anything. Then all of a sudden he threw four touchdown passes in the second half. Felipe Franks, probably his best 30 minutes of football and really got things rolling for him after the fact. Played well against Idaho, played well against Florida State, played well against Michigan. But that was a big turnaround game for Dan Mullen. So we'll talk to Brando about that tomorrow. And we'll see if South Carolina, I mean, can they knock off two heavyweights in consecutive weeks? I don't believe so. But, boy, I've been wrong lately. I mean, I didn't think Kansas City would lose twice in a row at home. And certainly they did that. They're just underway tonight as well in Denver. So that'll be part of the show Friday. That is from 5 until 7. And as always on Friday, I'm down at the stadium. I'll hear from Doug Marrone, Jaguars locker room, give you the very latest. And as a matter of fact, let's check that right now as we do news and notes brought to you each and every night by truckcrashlaw.com. Those folks, wonderful folks, and that law firm is based right here in Jacksonville. If you are aware of anyone out there who has been hurt, or even if it was fatal and it happened out on the road, make sure you bring to the attention to someone out there that, you know, someone close to them, I should say, that in fact, Truck Crash Law is there for them. It's as simple as this, okay? A truck creates an accident in your vehicle or an RV or a bus or something like that. And you know, it could be someone that you work with and all of a sudden you find out that they're out because they've been seriously injured. Make sure they know about truckcrashlaw.com because this is all they do. This is their expertise and they're based right here in Jacksonville, the only law firm in this state where this is all they do. Take advantage of it. It's truckcrashlaw.com. All right, let's begin. Let's go with the good and bad. What would you rather have first, the good or bad? Which way are you?
Let's start with the bad news first.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I mean, I can't believe people actually want good news first. Give me the bad, then we'll get to the good, right, Ryan? Or do you live in the good, then get the bad? I don't like it that way. Give me the bad first. Let's go bad. Dede Westbrook today with a shoulder. Didn't practice. Can't have that. He was apparently all right yesterday. But Marquise Lee, you got to believe, is not going to be able to give it a go after really rolling that ankle in the second half against New Orleans. He is yet to practice yesterday or today. So, you know, right now it looks like when you look at the weaponry for the Jaguars, Jeff Swaim in the concussion protocol and with the ankle hasn't gone the last 2 days. Marquise Lee hasn't gone the last 2 days with the ankle. Now you add to that D.D. Westbrook with the shoulder did not go today. Those could be three very important missing parts to the Jaguars offense as they visit Cincinnati on Sunday. The rest of the injury report looks like this, including the good news. For the first time, fully working, Josh Oliver, the third-round draft pick out of San Jose State, and that hamstring. Here we are in the week 7. Can't think of a better time for him to get out there and play, particularly after the last 2 weeks in which they have placed James O'Shaughnessy on the season-ending IR. And, of course, we just talked about what happened with Jeff Swaim, and he continues to be in the concussion protocol. Also, days off yesterday because of rest, Calais Campbell and Brandon Linder. Linder was full today. Campbell was limited. Cody Davis, who did not work on Wednesday with a hamstring, and Davis did play a little bit this past week in dime coverage for the Jaguars. He was limited today with the hamstring, so that's certainly better news than what they got on Wednesday. All right, let's get to Cincinnati, where this is a long, long list. Let's talk about Cordy Glenn. Played in Georgia, was with Buffalo. They made a deal to get him a year ago. In Cincinnati, he started 13 out of 16 games, expected to be their starter at left tackle. He was brought back yesterday and apparently out of the concussion protocol and worked fully on Wednesday. But the story is I guess there was a major argument that happened between Cordy Glenn and someone else within the Cincinnati Bengals locker room where reports said they thought it was going to get physical. Glenn ended up saying to Zach Taylor, the head coach, just cut me. Hey, he has been disciplined now by the team and did not work today. His whole complaint is that Cincinnati has rushed him back too quickly from a concussion. Again, we'll find out more about this. We'll have Ken Baby on tomorrow to discuss it. But it's very important because the guy who had been playing for him at left tackle, Andre Smith, it looks like he's not going to be able to go with an ankle. He has not worked on Wednesday or Thursday. So Cincinnati now could be going into this football game with a third-string left tackle. And, you know, you look at them offensively. Let's see. They've allowed 14 sacks. That's decent. That's midway through the league. That's about 17th in the NFL. That's Jacksonville. The Bengals, my bad. The Bengals have allowed 22 sacks. They're 28th in pro football. All right, compared to the Jags, which have allowed 14, and they're 17. Bengals have allowed 22 sacks so far. And it looks like they could be down to their third left tackle in this game on Sunday. As we've talked about all week long, but just to repeat it for those of you who have not heard, both of their corners are out. Dre Kirkpatrick with a knee, did not play a week ago. He'll be out again this week. William Jackson III with the shoulder, hurt himself in last week's game for the Bengals. So he has not practiced all week, and they've already been ruled out. So their starting corners aren't going to go. More today on A.J. Green. Still did not practice. He was quoted as saying he's not going to rush things back. So A.J. Green is not going to play. They've been resting Geno Atkins, who only has one sack so far. You know, a phenomenal career, a 10-year career. He is off to a slow start. Defensive end Carl Lawson with a hamstring has not practiced the last couple of days. Guard John Miller with a groin has missed the last couple of days. Sean Williams with a thigh has been limited as a safety the last couple of days. Ryan Glasgow, a defensive tackle with a thigh, limited yesterday, did practice today. And the former Gator Carlos Dunlap with a knee has not gone in the last couple of days. Folks, this is a wounded football team. All right? This is a team that's the worst in the NFL in rushing yards allowed. As I just documented, they're really beaten up on that defensive line, and they're without both their starting corners. And also, they have problems right now offensively, particularly at left tackle, where they could be without Cordy Glenn, and they could be without Andre Smith. Cordy Glenn has played all year for him. So, again, looks like it's going to be a third-string left tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to have a full report on that tomorrow at 5:30. Ken Baby will join us, ESPN's writer, covering the Cincinnati Bengals. So by that time, the official injury report will be out. We'll get it as well from Doug Marrone tomorrow at about 1:45 is when I do meet with Doug Marrone. And yeah, I don't know if we'll know everything. I mean, typically we do. The only time we have it all year is last Friday with Jalen. And then, of course, we didn't find out until 90 minutes before kick. And y'all know how that turned out. But we'll certainly know tomorrow when we meet with Doug Marrone. All right, there you go. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. If you are in an accident and it happens out on the road by a truck, tractor trailer, RV, or a bus, and someone is seriously injured, even if it is fatal, say it's a colleague you work with and they're missing work and you ask what's going on and you're told that, you know, perhaps one of their family members was in an accident, please make sure they know about truckcrashlaw.com because it's based right here in Jacksonville. Joe Camerlengo and his law firm, they do a phenomenal job, and they're the only law firm where this is all that they do in the entire state. This is it, and they're based right here in Jacksonville.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, James Coleman is here. We are getting ready for the Sports Den.
Yeah.
Final one of the week, right?
Yeah, man. It's Friday Eve.
Friday.
To quote Kevin Sullivan, Thursday, the best day of the week.
In college, it was a great day.
Yeah. Well, NFL.
Not for you. You were playing. You were in bed by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. My dad, Odell Higgins, used to be like, hey, man, curfew at 11. I'm like, all right, coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in when I'm in.
What's coming up tonight?
Talk a little bit. We're going to have to give our college previews. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to give our NFL previews. And pretty much that's going to take up most of the show. Hopefully we'll be able to not speak about 2.0 and we'll move on to something else and break down if the Jags have a chance with Cincinnati. Gators play a trap game here. The Noles play a sod game.
It is a sod
game. In Wake Forest.
Spoils my. Are they going to win?
Not with this. I'm a little. The 50% chance. No, 50 degrees, 100% chance of rain with an up tempo offense. I don't know, man. Like, they've got to figure it out. They better win. I can tell you that much. You don't. It's all downhill.
I've already got plans to go to the Seminole Bar in Cincinnati now because you can't get the game anywhere else because it's on the ACC network. There's no ACC network in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's the part that I just don't get.
Well, that was the same thing with Denver.
I think Comcast or Xfinity or whatever are like the last ones that are holding out, but they're the largest. So, I mean, DirecTV has it, YouTube TV. I don't know where I'm going to watch it at, but I'm going to I might go watch it with some Seminoles just to – almost like a prayer, you know, like a prayer meeting where you get together with a bunch of guys. It's almost like or better than that, what is it, like a – I don't mean to, like, discredit anybody who goes to AA or anything like that, but, like, it almost feels like a Seminoles Anonymous group that I got to go watch it with.
Yeah, but it certainly could be in an AA because if you're watching the Seminoles, you need to drink excessively.
Got to drink.
Kind of numb yourself.
I have no idea what to expect.
Neither do I. I mean, it's scary. But I'll be checking out. I tell you what, the Seminole Club I went to in Denver, I rivaled the ones in Chicago and New York. The Denver one was great. We'll see what the one was like in Cincy on Saturday night. We'll figure that out. All right, James, have fun. Coming up. James Coleman is here. Denny Thompson is here. JJ is here as well. That'll do it for us. Remember, tomorrow we're on earlier 5 to 7. On Friday, got a lot of good stuff lined up tomorrow, talking about the Bengals. I'll have a live report as well, returning from the stadium and the locker room. I'll hear from Doug Marrone. So I'll have all that with you. Tim Brando to talk about some of these games, including Georgia, what happened last week. And absolutely, Tim Brando and I will talk about Florida and South Carolina amongst everything else that we will do when he visits with us. So that's tomorrow from 5 to 7. Thank you to Advanced Disposal. They are hiring right now in Jacksonville. If you want to drive in Clay County, it includes a $1,500 signing bonus. You need a CDL, a commercial driver's license, to do so. Apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. For our producer, RJ Saunders, my name is Rick Ballew. I'll talk with you next from 5 until 7 on 1010XL. In 92.5 FM.